Welcome to Southeast Geeks, a Silicon Slopes East podcast devoted to what people are geeky about in southeastern Utah. I'm your host, Jade Powell. On these podcasts, we interview locals, business owners, and individuals that like to spend time in Southeast Utah for one geeky reason or another. These episodes may be about individuals or companies doing high-tech things in the region or entertaining activities that people are passionate about in Southeast Utah. Today, I'm talking with Dr. Jennifer Robinson from the Kim C. Gardner Policy Institute. How are you doing, Dr. Jenny?
Hi, Jade. It's such a pleasure to be with you today. I'm doing great.
Good. Why don't you take a moment and just introduce yourself, who you are, the institute you're with, your background, maybe some hobbies, whatever you feel like sharing with everyone.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. I'm Jenny Robinson. I serve as the Associate Director at the Gardner Institute. We're part of the University of Utah's David Eccles School of Business. And I've been in this role for close to 10 years is when we started the Gardner Institute. And our purpose, our mission is to provide great data and analysis to decision makers so that they can make informed decisions. We focus on a number of things here at the Gardner Institute: demographics, economics, public policy, and community research. I have a background in political science. I graduated from the University of Utah, and it's really an honor to continue to work for the university.
Very cool. I didn't know that about you. And you're based in Salt Lake, right?
We are. We're located off campus in a beautiful restored mansion here on South Temple and D Street. The building was built in about 1909 for the Wall family. Enos and Mary Wall had this home built, and they raised their five daughters here. And about 5 years ago, the building was restored and the Gardner Institute moved in here. And this is now our home. It has an incredible history, Jade, this beautiful building. After the Wall family lived here and raised their five girls here, the building was sold and it became the first Jewish community center for the state of Utah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then it was sold again and it became a Beehive Insurance Company. And then it was sold again and became the LDS Business College. And a lot of people remember this beautiful building as the LDS Business College. And then it was gifted to the University of Utah and we did a restoration on the building.
Very cool. I remember, well, for one, I just got to point out our podcast producer, Adam, who in our podcast, never get to hear Adam, but he's here listening and he's the one that edits us, but he's Jewish. So he kind of perked up when you brought that piece of information in. And secondly, if anyone has ever had the opportunity or has the opportunity to go to Dr. Jenny or Nellie Gochner's offices, they're beautiful. You can tell that they're just beautiful.
Oh,
they have
thanks.
A fireplace in them. You can tell just like if that was my bedroom, I'd love it.
It's a pretty amazing place to come to work every day. People who know South Temple know that it tells the history of our beautiful state of Utah. It was, you know, referred to as Brigham Street, and it houses all of these incredible churches. Of course, the LDS Temple is on South Temple. The Catholic Cathedral here, the Cathedral of the Madeleine, is on South Temple. First Presbyterian Church is our next door neighbor, and there are beautiful mansions all along South Temple. The Wall Mansion is one of them where we are. The Kearns Mansion, which is the governor's mansion, is here. It's just a beautiful street. It's been named one of America's most beautiful streets. So
interesting.
Come visit South Temple and stop by the Wall Mansion, the Gardner Institute, anytime. When it was gifted to the University of Utah, it was renamed and it's now known as the Thomas S. Monson Center. And because it's a University of Utah building, it's open to the public so people can stop by and visit us. But we host a lot of events here. As you know, Jade, we have meeting rooms, we have a beautiful town hall, and then on the third floor of the mansion is a gorgeous restored ballroom that we use for different types of community events. And part of the reason this building was gifted to the university and why the Gardner Institute is here is to bring the community together. We're located about halfway between the University of Utah, downtown, the Capitol, and the City County building. And it has a lot of meaning. The idea is that we are a central located place where the community can come together and help solve problems. And the mission of the Institute and the mission of the building really come together and align around that.
Dr. Jenny, thanks for describing the mission and kind of the purpose of the Gardner Institute. You know, I've never really, as you're describing that, where the building's located, it makes perfect sense that you bring all these different partners together to work on different things from economic to demographic to policy, public policy research that helps Utah prosper. About now, I want to kind of transition and go into a way that not only did you bring, you know, the University of Utah and kind of some of those partners along the Wasatch Front together, but you actually did a project here in Carbon and Emery counties called the Utah Coal Country Strike Team. Can you just kind of describe what created the momentum of what formed the Utah Coal Country Strike Team and what the Policy Institute hoped to accomplish with the strike team?
The Coal Country Strike Team is one of the big successes of the Gardner Institute since we were started. And I'll tell you a little bit about the background. The University of Utah, along with a couple of universities across the country, were selected to be part of what's called the American Dreams Ideas Challenge. And it was an initiative of Schmidt Futures. And people may not know what Schmidt Futures is, but it's this philanthropic organization that was founded by Eric and Wendy Schmidt. And again, people may not be familiar with who Eric Schmidt is, but I guarantee everybody listening to this will know who Eric Schmidt worked for. He was the CEO of Google for 10 years. And he and his wife started Schmidt Futures to give back, to look for creative solutions for improving the lives of people across the country. And one of their early initiatives was this American Dreams Ideas Challenge. And the Gardner Institute partnered up with Southeast AOG and a few others to create this Coal Country Strike Team. And the idea was to help one of the distressed regions in our state, which was Carbon and Emery counties. This area of our state, as you know, Jade, had some real challenges. It was, had some economic challenges. It had some demographic challenges with people moving out of the community. And we put together a strike team to seek some funding from the Schmidt Futures and was really, really successful in that process. We went through about a year of competitions and we were selected as one of the finalists. And it came down to some great ideas, some interventions that we thought would improve the economy and the well-being of the people in both Carbon and Emery counties. We focused on workforce training, jobs, housing revitalization, tourism infrastructure, economic development. You know as well as I do, it was a great success, and it's been such a success. We've transitioned away from being the strike team to being the Coal Country Synergy Team.
Yeah, thanks for bringing up the new name. So the strike team, you know, I felt like that was probably one of the more difficult things that because we were the Southeast AOG, we were a part of the strike team. That was probably one of the hardest things that we had to overcome was a lot of people kind of questioned the name strike team. Mm. And they were thinking, you know, strike, like get it out of here, strike Utah Coal. And they're like, we love coal. We want coal. We don't want to strike it out. But once you describe, you know, like a strike team, like a military term, yeah, of going in and fighting something and putting a strike against something, yeah, to help these coal reliant communities through these four interventions. And ultimately the goal of the Utah Coal Country Strike Team was to raise 10,000 households by 10% as soon as possible.
That's exactly right. We were absolutely laser focused on increasing income for 10% by 10% for 10,000 households in those two counties. And we were tracking it. We continue to track the improvements in the region, the diversification of the economy, the investments that have been made through scholarships, through workforce training, through downtown revitalization efforts, investments in infrastructure for tourism and other things, and the housing investments too. And we've seen some improvements, and I'm really, really proud of the role that the University of Utah and the Gardner Institute has played with the strike team and now the synergy team. And I expect the university's role to just continue. The Gardner Institute is focused on a few things: demographics, economics, public policy. And we provide to the strike team, the synergy team, great data, great analysis, and I hope the support to continue to be successful.
I think it will. Dr. Jenny, can you just speak a little bit about the partnerships of the strike team? I mean, it was pretty unique in its composition of who was all involved.
Yeah. When the strike team was created, we thought there were four important components: that it needed to be mission focused. So really clear mission of the 10% increase for 10,000 households. It needed to be multidisciplinary. That means we take the best thinking from economics, public policy, housing experts. It needed to be data driven. So gather the very best data. And the last thing was that it had to be locally led. It had to be led, and the goals had to be set by locals, not by the American Dreams, not by the Gardner Institute of the University of Utah. And we put together the original strike team was an incredible group. Congressman Curtis and the at the time Lieutenant Governor Cox were the honorary co-chairs for us. We had representatives from the different cities and Castledale, Price, the counties, both Carbon and Emery counties. USU Eastern was an important partner with the University of Utah in this. And then we brought in a few others, Silicon Slopes helping us, the Governor's Office of Economic Development, the Utah Association of Counties, and there's many more. But what it said to me was we were able to bring all sorts of people, locals, as well as some of the universities with their research and data that could be helpful to the community.
Yeah, I think through all those partnerships, like I think the one that was just that put me in awe most of the time was the fact that we had two major universities in Utah. We had the University of Utah and we had Utah State University, both working together with the same mission of helping Carbon and Emery County's local coal economies.
Yeah.
And so to me, that was just amazing just to see. And then all the other added support was also amazing. But just there was just something about those two major universities working together.
Yeah, it's a really incredible thing when you can have two major universities, research universities, come together for the improvement of the community rather than being seen as competitors. And Jade, I'll just share with you, this is really important to President Randall, the University of Utah's president. He and the trustees, during his first year as president, signed what's called the six commitments to our community. And what it says is that really these commitments are affirming the role that the University of Utah plays as the flagship university to our state. And we have a responsibility to deliver excellence in our teaching, research, our patient care, and our community service. But the commitment that I want to talk about right now is the commitment to unify with our sister institutions. And it's very, very important to both our trustees and to the president of the university that the university seeks to be a steward of a statewide approach to education success in our whole state. We collaborate with our sister institutions, both in higher education and public education. And I think you saw that with the strike team. There are other initiatives that we're seeing across the state right now that speak to this university's commitment to the whole community and to our willingness to unify and partner and collaborate with other universities like USU.
Thanks, Dr. Jenny, for sharing your thoughts on the Utah Coal Country Strike Team, now Synergy Team. And we hope to keep the momentum going, you know, between the Gardner Institute and the University of Utah, USU Eastern, Price City, Castledale City, Carbon County, Emery County, the AOG. And we've had many kind of successes come out of that, including the BTAC and including this podcast was part of that intervention of the workforce development and creating Silicon Slopes East, which this is a podcast of. And so this is one of the outcomes of the Coal Country Synergy Team. Now we'd like to play a little game with you called Geeky or Game Over. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
It looks like the geek is on the sneak. It's time to play Geeky or Game Over.
Okay, the way the game works is I'll give you a topic and you will answer if you are geeky about it, if you like it or enjoy it, and answer Game Over if you don't like it or if you haven't heard of it. Board games.
Geeky. And I need to give you a little background on this. I am the mother of two kids. My youngest is just 10 years old. So my board games are probably not that interesting. I play things like Clue and Life and Candyland.
I love those ones. Monopoly.
Oh, we haven't
got in the mix.
That's not in the mix. I need to add that to the list.
My niece, she's 8 and she loves Clue. Like there's probably a good like 3-month stretch that anytime I went over to see my niece, the Clue board came out and that's all we were playing.
I think I've played Clue 2 or 3 times just this weekend.
How about Harry Potter?
Oh, geek. Big time geek. Love it. Love the books. Love the movies. And this is how big time of a geek we are. On my daughter's 11th birthday, we went to Universal Studios to go to Harry Potter World.
Did you dress up and everything?
Absolutely. Totally. Completely. Had wands.
Get the butterbeer.
Every type of butterbeer. Hot butterbeer, frozen butterbeer, cold butterbeer. I mean, we did it all.
Very cool. It seems like those that are like Harry Potter fans, they have like this rotation of like at least once a year, they're watching all the movies in order, yeah. Or like it's just become this annual tradition. And I speak from experience, because even though I'm not that geeky about Harry Potter, I think I've watched all the movies maybe once, like all together, but I've seen them multiple times, you know, individually. Because my wife and her family, they're big geeks into Harry Potter. And so I'll get looped into that. But it seems like it's become like this annual holiday right around like Thanksgiving, Christmas, holiday break, right through there. It's a Harry Potter marathon for about a week.
I have the same thing going on at my house. And I think it's become the holiday go-to movie, right?
Right.
Yeah. It's replaced Frosty the Snowman and the Rudolph movies for sure at my house.
How about skiing?
Game over for me. I am not a skier. I skied a little bit, but my husband, my daughter, and my son are big time skiers and have passes. And it is an incredible thing for them to go do by themselves. And then I get to just stay at home and relax.
Yep. In the warmth.
In the warmth. That's right.
And watch Harry Potter.
And watch Harry Potter. That's it.
How about fishing?
Oh, geek. I love to fish. Love to fly fish. Don't get to do it often enough.
Really? I like fishing. I like that. Well, I guess I should change that. I like going with people that I enjoy being around, my family and friends, and hanging out in the mountains or wherever we're at for that weekend or whatever that we're fishing. And I enjoy doing that. But actual fishing, I don't know. There's just something about the sliminess of a fish that I can't get over.
Yeah, I find it to be really peaceful. One of my favorite memories of all time is fly fishing up in Yellowstone with my sister, being on a river and just casting out for hours. We left our little cabin early, early in the morning before the sun was even up and had an incredible day out there. And I wish I could repeat that every summer.
Very cool. Those are some of the best memories and some of the best stories.
Yeah.
How about superhero movies?
This one's a little bit harder. So I'm probably a little bit of a game over person on this. I watch them with my kids, but I couldn't even tell you a name of a superhero movie other than Avengers. That probably tells you it's game over.
Yeah, I enjoy them, but like you, I don't know the ins and outs, and there's all these backstories and whatever else with them. So anyway, yeah. Last one, economics.
I have to say I'm a geek on this one. I work for the Gardner Institute. We are the home of the best data and economic analysis for the state. I'm definitely a geek on this.
I feel like I set you up for that one.
Yeah. If I said I was game over, I might need to look for a new job.
Right. Thanks for playing that game. Thanks for taking some time so that we can learn a little bit more about each other through those topics.
Yeah, it's fun.
So back to our original conversation, you know, we were kind of talking about this with how these universities, they kind of have these like not really said like these service area boundaries that each university follows. You know, the University of Utah has theirs, Utah State has theirs, Utah State University Eastern has theirs, in the sense that, you know, within that community that they're the local university that provides those services to it. However, it seems like we're now seeing that a lot of these boundaries are kind of becoming blurred, and we're starting to see, just like through the Utah Coal Country Synergy team, now I just meshed all the names together, the Utah Coal Synergy team. You know, we saw the University of Utah working with USU. In fact, the University of Utah was able to provide scholarship money for students to attend USU Eastern, which I think is very profound that, you know, here's the U providing funding to USU Eastern to get more students enrolled at USU Eastern.
Yeah.
And particularly within, you know, we went through that whole process of identifying what are those degree paths or CTE pathways that we could get youth involved in so that they'll stay and help with that diversifying the economy. But along those lines, how else, you know, you mentioned with President Randall's mission to the communities, how else is the U partnering with other university institutions in the state of Utah?
Yeah, I think it's such an important thing for all the universities to see each other as partners, to look for opportunities to collaborate, to unify. And Jade, as you said, each university really does have a bit of a different mission. The two research universities are the University of Utah and USU. And then we have the other universities, both private and public, in our state that we can always find ways to partner with. And the commitment that the university has made to the community involves this commitment to unify and look for opportunities to collaborate. Over the summer, President Randall did a tour of the state. And during that tour, he visited Farmington Bay, the bay for the Great Salt Lake. And everybody has seen the news recently about the shrinking Great Salt Lake and the real concern that we may not have a Great Salt Lake if there aren't some real serious actions taken to improve. And on that tour and during that visit, the president committed to help with the issue. And it made complete sense for the University of Utah and Utah State University to partner. And what we saw was the creation of another strike team, and it's known as the Great Salt Lake Strike Team. And the Great Salt Lake Strike Team is made up of partners from the University of Utah, Utah State University, and some of our state agencies. For example, it includes the Department of Agriculture and Food and the Department of Natural Resources. This strike team has been working for several months, and its purpose is really twofold. It's the primary point of contact to tap into the expertise that we have at USU and at the University of Utah, and to provide this research support, synthesize the analysis that helps to enhance, to strengthen any of the strategies to improve the watershed management and increase the water levels in the Great Salt Lake. It's just an incredible example, again, of two research universities coming together to solve a really serious public policy problem.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really excited about what's going on here, Jade. I love the idea of these big research universities using all of their brain power, all of their expertise, and coming together to solve a big problem and partnering up with state agencies, much like what we did with the Coal Country Strike Team. I think we're going to see another strike team formed, Jade, and I'll just share that. And it's likely going to be around energy and the future of energy in our state. And I think we'll see another partnership here between the University of Utah and our sister organization.
Thanks, Dr. Jenny, for sharing some of those thoughts. You know, that's very interesting that other strike teams have formed it, and I hope to see their success, just like we've seen success with the Utah Coal Country Strike Team. You know, you mentioned President Randall doing that tour of Utah, and we just got to thank you for bringing him down through Carbon and Emery counties and seeing some of the work that we've done through the Coal Country Strike Team. You know, he got to see the university. He got to see the mural that we painted down Price Main Street. We did a whole podcast on that. And, you know, eventually I think he made his way out to the power plants and to the Center for Energy Research Center, which I hope I'm not drawing any conclusions because I just learned about this new strike team focused on energy. But maybe is that focused on, you know, some of the research and some of the work that they're doing there at the research center, which we just love to see, because that truly is going to be one of the answers to diversifying our energy portfolio is some of the research that they're doing there at the Center for Energy Research Center.
Yeah, Jade, you're exactly right on what's coming about. But the president did that tour in late summer, and then there have been follow-up visits by others from our university and Utah State University. And I think it's this chance when we have the president and others visiting a community to look at the opportunities, to look at the strengths that exist in a community and try to use those for the benefit of the community. And we see a lot of great things that are possible in Carbon and Emery counties and throughout the state. So more to come on what that strike team will look like and what it will do. But there's no question in my mind that it will involve that region of the state.
Very cool. So along those lines, hopefully I don't put you on the spot, but I kind of want to put you on the spot.
Okay.
How will the Gardner Policy Institute continue to support the Utah Coal Country Synergy Team?
Yeah. For me, it comes down to this. Whatever you need and whenever you call, we stand ready to answer that call. The Institute really understands our state's demographics, what's going on in the state's economy and public policy. We have some of the very best data on demographics and the economy available to us. And we have a great, great team that is dedicated to our state and to Carbon and Emery counties. And whenever you make that call, we will be ready to help.
Thank you. And just so everyone's aware, even though we've reached many of our goals through the Utah Coal Country Strike Team, those four interventions, we've done projects with workforce development, with tourism infrastructure, with custom incentives, housing projects here in Carbon and Emery counties. So we touched a little bit on it, and I think we have the data to show that a lot of our efforts did help move that needle, if not achieve that goal of raising 10,000 households by 10%. And so with that, I mean, I'm sure there's going to still be support that we need from the Gardner Policy Institute, but just so the listeners know, the Coal Country Strike Team, even though it's been going on now for 3 years, it's now transitioned into the Utah Coal Country Synergy Team. We're still meeting regularly. We only meet about once a quarter now. Instead, before, it seemed like we were meeting monthly and sometimes even more than that, just trying to figure out what can we do and how do we help these local economies. And so we're still around. We're still here. We're adding partners. From our meeting just last week, we discussed who else needs to be at the table, talking about the things that we're talking about, helping with the diversification of our economies and our diversification plan in Carbon and Emery County. So I'm glad you said what you did, and we'll for sure take you up on that offer.
Yeah, please do. We have made some really dear friends through this process of the strike team, and I really appreciate all the support and the energy that people have given to the efforts of the strike team when we went through the process. And I hope you feel our friendship from the Gardner Institute as well.
We do, and I hope you feel that it's also reciprocated back to you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jade, so much for that.
Thanks, Dr. Jenny, for taking some time out of your day to talk to our listeners and myself about what's happening in southeastern Utah and specifically in rural Utah and Carbon and Emery County's coal country.
Yeah, pleasure to join you today, and happy to join you anytime, Jade.
Thanks, Dr. Jenny. And listeners, thanks for listening. And until next time, take care of yourself.